Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to read the last installment of this series I've been working on. It's called The Church That Jesus Is Building. And how many of you know that you're the church he's building? It's not an organization somewhere on the cloud like everything else is. But no, this is a church that Jesus is building here in Portland, Oregon, at this particular location. And he's building us up day by day as we become faithful to him in all that we do and all that we say. Our scripture today is going to be in John 17, verses 13 through 24. And you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind you as we prepare this message for you. Verse 13 says this: "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. That they all may be one, as you, Father, and are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Verse 24 together. "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me, that you may behold my glory, which I have given me, for you love me and for the foundation of the world." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, it's with anticipation and a little bit of excitement too that we talk about today of the blessing or the prayer of blessing that Jesus is praying over his disciples. And Lord, before this service even ends, Lord, I want to pray a blessing over your disciples today. As we get ready to just celebrate together just the joy of knowing Jesus. But Lord, there's something you want to impart to us today that will surpass anything we've ever experienced before. Because Lord, you pray a blessing over your people that they may have influence in the world. And Holy Spirit, I pray that every person in this place, regardless of how long they've been a believer, but Lord, that they'll realize that they have the power of influence of just speaking the words of life, of hope, of peace, of joy, of blessing over people as they go throughout their day. Lord, just teach us how to pray, but how to believe that we can bless in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise, for we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. For many of us, it may be hard to fathom or entertain the idea that Jesus would be praying for us, even now. See, the Father's interceding. He said, why would he need to? Because, I mean, you know, he knows everything, and the idea of praying over someone, that seems kind of odd for us to even try to even process. But I want to tell you, we're going to talk about prayer in a little bit different sense of the idea that whenever you pray over something, how many of you ever used to, your parents made you pray over your food? You know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whoever gets fastest, eat the most, you know, that kind of. And we did that. It was a kind of a cursory thing, you know. And when we were kids, we just you say this thing, it's kind of by rote, you know. I don't know what your little mantra was, but we had one. But we just kind of said it and got on with it. We were interested in the groceries, right? Okay. I want to tell you there's more to it than that. And that God is going to impart to us the idea of blessing when we bless something. When God's blessing on something, it's almost like it's energized and it takes a whole different form. And so I want to impart that to you today. Our understanding of prayer often is distorted by a misunderstanding of the power and necessity of prayer. Well, very simply put, prayer is a pronouncement of the will of God over a person or situation that will bring forth or will bring them into alignment with the will of God. Ever found yourself out of the alignment with God? You get back on course? Prayer will do it. Things you never thought of, things you never thought were important, brings you back into that particular place. Well, here's the things we'll talk about today. First of all, question. Does the thought of Jesus praying for you give you assurance of his care and concern about you and your situation? We've heard this, the Father, Jesus is making intercession with us before the Father. I want to get you a concept on this idea. It's not like the fact that he's trying to convince God not to crush us or not to do something bad or let something bad happen to us. But the intercession that happens is in remembrance of what he has already done for us. We are seated in heavenly places with Jesus, but Jesus in that particular time is praying over us the blessing of knowing that it's already been done. Secondly, have you discovered the power of prayer involves the Trinity working in harmony on our behalf? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Jesus is talking to God and trying to get him to do something, and the Holy Spirit is kind of listening in. Do not try to figure that whole thing out. Because I try to say, well, now, wait a minute. There's a trifecta, and the Holy Spirit, he's with us all the time, and Jesus is with the Father, and the Father's making, and Jesus is making intercession with us as the Father, and God's running. How does this whole thing work? Together. Amen. And it started in the beginning. Amen. When he made heaven and earth, and this is the part that will get put it all together for you, and they said, and let us make man. All three of them were involved. It wasn't schizophrenic of any way, shape, or form. They were all involved. So we need all three of them involved in our lives right now. Can you get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit, he's down here making intercession for you, keeping you from going crazy. He's not giving you suggestions. He's giving you warnings and promptings that will keep you on the right path. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. Because sometimes, ever not know what you just don't know what to do? I dare you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You know, door number one, door number two, Number three, did you know that you have been empowered by Jesus to extend the blessing of Jesus upon the lives of those you come in contact with on a daily basis? Woo! Do you know something? You have been empowered by the Spirit of God to make a difference wherever you go. You can find people, and you say, wait a minute, don't they have to be saved first? Uh-uh. Matter of fact, it's even better when they're not saved, because it will bring them to Jesus because of the kindness and the goodness of the Lord brings us to repentance. Is that not the word of God? If you just listen, I'm going to find somebody saved, I can bless them today. Stop it. Find somebody that's a dye-in-the-wool sinner that has no hope in their lives and pronounce the blessing of Jesus on their life and watch them come to Jesus. See, and some of us, we're so spoiled anyway, we don't need nothing else. Well, that's another story. That's another sermon. I'm sorry. I'm done. People will believe in Jesus because of the prayer that will produce fruit in our life. Luke chapter 10, verses 2, 19, and 20. Here we go. Okay, and he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Have you prayed that lately? Here am I, Lord, send them. Some of you will get that in a week. Next verse, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a pretty good warning. Fear is one of the number one things that keeps us from doing what God called us to do. He says, I give you authority to trample serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy. The enemy is an intimidator. And I need to tell you today, the devil is a liar. always has been. You know, I mean, he's a father of lies. And he'll tell you all things about you're not capable of doing this, you're unworthy of this, but the Bible says some things about us. And he says, and nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you, but here's what you rejoice in, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, he says, don't get so arrogant, say, you know, I'm a child of God. So what? That's already been taken care of. Do the work down here that will bring Jesus and make him known. Well, here's how we'll expose this to you. When we pray, the most powerful fruit of the believer is prayer. That means that when we pray, we bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Simple in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's pretty powerful. Jesus has prayed with compassion and understanding that would rule our lives. And Jesus' prayer for us is to send us into the harvest for souls. Now, I hope this will do something good in all of us. But do you realize that God has empowered you with the opportunity to bring people into his kingdom? You say, really? But here's the problem. We've made it too difficult. So what? Any of you grew up in the era when they brought up a little pamphlet, Four Spiritual Laws? Anybody remember that one? Come on, wave your hand at me. Don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. And this was a way this was the formula. This was the gateway of getting people saved. And I'm not putting it down, but you know what? It can't be broken down to a formula. They're going to see you before they see any other law. And when you're modeling Jesus with his love and his compassion and his goodness, that's the first representation they're going to see about Jesus. Your little booklet, keep it in your wallet or in your pocket until you start mirroring who Jesus is in you. And that's what's going to draw people into the kingdom. Well, our prayers carry authority in Jesus' name. Anybody believe that in the name of Jesus? Well, we have power over all the enemy would try to use to hinder us, and the protection of the Holy Spirit will shield us from the works of the devil. What does that mean? Are these just idle words that they just threw in the Bible to fill the page? Or does it mean that you have authority in the name of Jesus to say, this has got to stop? I've been in situations, and I'm sure you have too, that I've had to say, you know, maybe I didn't say it as loud as I should have, but you know, it starts getting crazy. I'm saying it under my breath, in the name of Jesus, this is going to stop right now. But one day, I was in a situation like that, and I forgot to mumble. And it came out. And I said, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, it was out then. I said, in the name of Jesus, this got to stop right now. Oh, oh. You mentioned Jesus, people get messed up. They'll at least take note. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We rejoice in the fact that we must never lose sight of the eternal reward with Jesus, but we've got to be able to speak his name with authority. Well, here we go into this. Jesus has declared the blessing of joy over your lives. Isn't that interesting? The scripture says, it talks about, you know, that we're going to have, he's spoken joy over us. Now, what does that mean? He says, well, simply it means this. The joy of the Lord is your. But what does that mean? Oh, I'm so glad my car broke down. I'm so glad I lost my job. I'm so glad my kids are spun out. I'm just happy. Jesus, thank you, Lord. That's stupid. Joy is saying, this isn't the last of the situation. I'm not going to allow what's going on right now to affect what God has designed for me to do. Nothing the devil's going to do is going to take my joy. Because it may have changed down here, but heaven's got a different report than what I'm experiencing right now. It's amazing that oftentimes we get affected by things. But even Psalms 126, verse 5, let me show you how this works. Okay. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Tell me how that works. You may be crying, you may feel like your heart is going to break, but you know something? When you get through all of that, joy is still in your life. You're going to reap in joy. Oh, so that's what this was all about. I know you're going to go through hard times, so will I. But the Holy Spirit, He has something greater than what we're experiencing right now. Abiding in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Now, joy is the essence of the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. This is a good one here. Therefore, do not let your good be evil spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, this has some various types of meaning. I'm going to try to exegete this as quickly as possible, but to get the end result of what we're going to discover with this. In other words, Jesus has declared our lives should not be encumbered with the things of the world. So, that means don't allow the world to overtake what Jesus is doing in your life. Simply put, Jesus has prayed over us deliverance from a life that puts forth a mixed message. I'm not saying this disrespectfully for those who have a diagnosed illness, so be careful, but I'm using the word schizophrenic for a reason. The unfortunate factor of schizophrenia is the fact that it's unpredictable. And oftentimes people who are doing this well, the schizophrenia of psychosis, will overtake people and they'll do things that are not rational or explainable. But you know what? I have found schizophrenic Christians. Depending on what situation, we don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to act. You're talking about, I'm full of Jesus. Then what did you do that for? Or why are you talking like that? I want to tell you, God has done something that goes beyond what you are, what you're trying to do this in your own image. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this idea behind this is, the Bible talks about the carnal mind of yours is death against the things of God. Now, we'll go a little bit further. We must not get caught up in doing, but rather being who Jesus has empowered us to be. Now, I'm going to take off this a little bit. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. What was happening with the church? Is the church was at this particular point, Paul's addressing an issue. And they're issuing, what's profitable to eat, what's not profitable to eat, what a person can drink, what's not profitable for them to drink. It was more like, in practical terms, New Seasons versus Safeway. Well, you'll get that in a minute. Organic or common. Or Whole Foods, or in the other world, it's called Whole Check. Takes your whole check to buy something at Whole Foods. But it's organic. And it costs you $5 more, but somehow it tastes better. That's a lie. I'll tell you, when you're hungry, chicken's chicken. You're not going to ask where they got it from. Baby, you're going to put that in your lips and suck them bones. That's what you're going to do. And that's what he's talking about. He says, don't try to get all crazy with me. And talk about, I only eat those things that are organically perfect to not defile my body with those things on this planet. Honey, you ought to go to India with me sometime. There's some things that came from where? We gonna eat this? I'm working with some spiritual people today. Well, it's not about all those different things. The Lord's blessing rests upon the heart of gratitude and praise unto Jesus. I'm trying to help all of us to get our frame of mind to the place where we realize that the prayer of God can override all the things that we struggle about. Amen? Amen? It's with the intent of knowing that that we are totally surrendered to God. Well, the joy of Jesus fills the life of the believer with hope. Here's three things about hope. Hope of his presence. He's here with you right now. But here's another thing. He will leave with you when you go out the door. He'll be with you all the time. Now, here's another part that will help you. Even when you make a bad decision, Jesus is gone now. I don't know where I'm going to find him. No, the Holy Spirit will get you will correct you that quickly that you may never lose the power of his presence operating in your life. Did you realize that whenever you go against God's purpose in your life, the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and at that point, you can get it straight right then? Well, he gives you the hope of his protection. I realized this the other day as I was just going about doing some things, that I oftentimes don't really value the protection of God in my life. I'm not just from car accidents and other types of things, but just on every level, he's working 24/7 in my life. And he's doing the same thing in yours. Well, one other thing I would tell you about this, the part that all of us need not worry about is for the hope of his provision. Some of you, I know that are sitting in this auditorium today, are facing some challenges in the financial realm. But one thing I've learned is that you don't serve Jesus to get your bills paid. I'm going to say it again. You don't serve Jesus in thinking he doesn't, you know, and so if I serve Jesus, then, you know, he's going to get all of it. No, no, no. God is your provider before you started serving Jesus. But the awareness that you have now that he's in your life is going to make it so much more, shall I say, beneficial for you in submitting to him. Well, here we go. We have the blessing of the word of God to keep us from the evil one. John chapter 18, verse 14. This is great. Now it was Caiaphas, I got the wrong one. It should be 17, verse 14. Well, sorry, I got it right here. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is what Jesus says. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I've given them your word. What that means is, Jesus has prayed that we be kept from the influence of the power of the devil, and although we are living in the world, we are not subject to its influence. What does that mean in a practical sense? To be in the world and not of the world. I need to warn you of a direction that God is going to take us, and it's a good warning. Actually, it's a good preparation for us, of the whole idea of how the gods of this world have taken over our lives, and many times it's been so subtle that we don't really notice it. Because we find ourselves, when the Ten Commandments was, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me, so I don't have any gods before me, I'm got no idols in my house. We'll find out. Because some things we've gotten used to that were never part of God's program, and we need to really come to a place of really honoring him. Well, this issue here is that the word of God is a protection that we have against the things of the world. Because of the blessing of the word of God, the response of the world toward us will be hatred. You're going to be hated because you love the word of God. Don't expect to come in agreement or alignment with things that are happening. Now, let me just get real, real direct with you. There are certain legislative and political platforms that are based upon things that are totally contradictory to the word of God. Totally. And I loving all people, loving all persons, but sometimes when they've tried to take whether you love people or not based upon the fact of whether you accept a particular lifestyle as being okay, That's what they're trying to tell you to do. You can love the person, but the sin has got to be addressed. I say, but you be very careful how you do that. Well, I'm going to show you how to do that, so stay tuned. We've got some great things to learn about this in the future. The Word of God is our first defense to be all that Jesus desires us to be. Colossians chapter 3, 16. Here we go. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That scripture, I didn't realize how power-packed it was. Let me unpack it a little bit for you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does that mean? Is it richly? I don't know. Richly? Well, it means to give preeminence. It means to be immersed in the Word of God. It means prioritize what he's saying. Wisdom and teaching and admonishing will keep our focus centered on Jesus. I wish I could say that I was perfect at this, but I'm not. But you know what? My desire is to be. To keep everything centered, focused on him. That Jesus is the one that we're allowing our life to shine for. Our worship of the Lord through song and sacrifice will be enhanced by the word abiding in our hearts. Let me tell you how that works. Whatever praise song you sang today, doesn't matter. Isn't it interesting how some songs kind of ignite a little bit something in us? I'll tell you the songs that will really ignite with you are the ones that are based upon the word that is living in your heart. You say, really? There's a connection there? Because all of a sudden the word you're singing and that which is already in your heart, they come together, and all of a sudden, those hands go up, those tears start flowing because it's already a part of you, and it's just a testimony of what already resides inside of you. That's the reason why it's important for you to read the Word of God, because it gives a platform that when you begin to worship, and what's coming out of your mouth is already in your soul, and there's a connection between the two, and all of a sudden, worship becomes complete. Amen. Worship is never a melody. It's never the song that goes, oh, that melody does, oh, Jesus, oh, thank you. Whoo, glory. Makes me want to bust a move. You know what I'm saying? And believe me, I'm not against that, because every now and then I feel like my feet can go somewhere. But anyway, but the issue is, it's got to have a foundation in truth. Well, our mindset will be upon the things of the kingdom of God. Well, quickly, the blessings of Jesus rest upon those who are obedient to his word. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. This is a good little piece to deal with. And he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted his hands, and he blessed them. Now, it came to pass that while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. This is when Jesus was departing, and they see him going up into the heavens, and they're seeing, and he's departing from them. And first, the last thing he did before he left, he blessed them. He says, you're blessed. Continue in the things I've taught you. You know, the other thing you have to understand is that everything that Jesus said was not caught in those particular verses. And I don't think I'm being anywhere disrespectful. The summation of what happened is in the verses that we have. So I can venture to say that Jesus probably said a whole lot more that was not captured, but I'll tell you, but the essence of what happened was there. Well, before he blessed them, he reminded them of his death and resurrection, and he reminded them that repentance and remission of sin must be preached. Isn't that interesting? You know, he tells them, you know, I'm the one who was dead and is now alive. Repentance and remission must be preached. And the message of the gospel is for all nations. Then he blesses them and says, you go and do that. The greatest blessing from Jesus was a promise of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. He told them, he says, when he comes, he'll lead you into all truth and righteousness. He'll take away all the guessing and all the thing trying to figure it out on your own. That meaning that all we can do as believers is to operate in the power and the promise of the Holy Spirit, and we will, and he will guide us into all truth and righteousness, and he will teach us how to draw closer to Jesus in daily worship. Now I'm going to take these last few minutes, and I want to do something, and I think it'll be helpful for all of us. There's one particular scripture, and I've repeated it a number of different times. It's probably one of the favorite scriptures in the Bible of what Jesus, or what God has made a plan for us. And it says, we need to allow the hope of our blessing to resonate in truth. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody loves that verse. Here it comes on the screen. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you how wrong you are.
What?
I'm going to show you're a heretic.
Ah!
Get ready. What you think that means is not what it means. He said, what? He's talking about, I got a future and I got a hope and ain't no evil going to come to my house. Thoughts of peace, says the Lord. The Lord done said that to me. I'm going to put it in context for you, and all of a sudden you're going to think different. But there's a blessing in it. But I want to extract it for you that from this day forward, you'll have understanding that God spoke this blessing years and, you know, eons ago that will help you in your life. This scripture is the most misquoted scripture in the Bible when it comes to context and scripture meaning. He said, what? What? I got that plaque on my wall. Well, I'm going to give you some stuff to put underneath that plaque, okay? It was never meant to be an individual promise of blessing. Never. Matter of fact, it was kind of a warning that things are going to get worse before they get better. Woo, Jesus. He said, what? You know, because I even sent it to somebody on their graduation card until I got my mind back. Our future holds rest in Jesus' promise of hope for a future that will include our surrender and blessing of others around us. Let me show you how that works. This is going to be really good. We must seek to bless a city of our captivity. Now let's go to Jeremiah 29, verses 7 through 10. This will help us understand this. This is good. Verses 7 through 9. Okay. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Stop right there.
What?
We are in Portland, Oregon, the weirdest place on the planet. And God has said, He says, I caused you to seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive.
What?
And pray to the Lord for it. Stop touting Portland as weird and start praying, oh God, let your spirit fall on this place. Turn around all the weirdness. We cast out the devil that's trying to destroy all these people. We cast out all the strange things that are allowed to happen without any restitution or reparation. Lord, we come in the name of Jesus that things have got to change. That's what you're supposed to do. For its peace, you will have peace. Woo! Oh, it's going to get. Here we go. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you or listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. The context of this is one prophet had told them, in 2 years everything's going to be great, and it never happened. That's the context of this whole thing. He told them, everything's going to be fine in the next 2 years, and it never happened. Oh, we're going to unpack this, but it's going to end good, so don't panic. We must be willing to listen to Jesus' promptings in the Spirit. We must be careful not to be deceived with false hope concerning our futures and destiny. Or how about this? God will reveal his purpose and plan as we walk in obedience. See, we feel like, Jesus is walking with me. It doesn't matter where I walk. I go wherever I want to walk. Jesus just walks with me. Come on, Jesus, here we go. God wants to use us for his glory in our present circumstances and situation. In your present situation and circumstance right now, without changing anything, God wants to be glorified. I don't care how broke you are or how rich you are, God wants to use you where you are right now. Now, he may change that situation, but when you're waiting for something to change before God can use you, you're in the wrong place. God has you where you are, and I'll explain that to you in just a minute of how some things need to be altered in our way of thinking. Well, God wants us to use us for his glory in our present circumstance situation. I'll give you 10 reasons why. Number one, we are going to go through some stuff, but we're not alone. Ever felt like, don't raise your hand on this because I don't want your friends to know this. I'll raise my hand for you. Ever felt like you're the only person going through something? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Dry those tears, baby. You're not riding the bus alone. God is always with you. And actually, this prophetic word, before anything changed for the people, they had to endure 70 years before anything changed. That's rough. But even so, God says, I got a plan for you that even during these 70 years, it seems there's the hardest times of your life, I am working it out. And I'm not doing it to destroy you, but I'm going to make you the person that I've always wanted you to be. Hang in there with me. Let me take you to number two. I got to get through these real quickly if I can finish this well. Number two, we must seek to bless others around us no matter what. You are never too broke to bless somebody. You're never in too much trouble to be able to bestow a blessing on someone else. Oh, honey, I just can't bear to make it myself. I ain't going to help you. God has put you in a position that no matter what you're going through, he will empower you to do beyond what you ever thought you were able to do. Number three, God will come through for us later. I know none of you like being first. You like being last. You know, it's interesting. This is a funny thing. I go to this athletic club over in Lloyd Center. And just for the fun of it, I get up early in the morning. I'm an early riser. And so the club opens at 5. There are at least a half dozen or more people there waiting at 5 o'clock. Some of them at 15 minutes till. The door does not open till 5. There is no advantage of getting in the door at 5. The lights don't even go on until 5:02. The steam room isn't heated up until 5:30. But I'll tell you what, they will be there at 5 o'clock, and it's like they're rushing to a sale at Macy's. Every picking day. Huh? God's going to take care of you. Number four, we must seek peace and intercede for our captors. Now, I know you don't like that verse. Because that's what this scripture is actually saying. You must begin to intercede for the people who are holding you hostage. And that is not intercession like, Lord, kill them all. Lord, give me an Uzi. I mow them down like cotton. I take them out. Just show me where they aim. That's hard not to do. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you are sitting here and you are mad. You are mad as a wet hen. Don't ever put water on a hen. She will peck the heck out of you. Be throwing water on hens. I'm going to move on because we must be willing to be a blessing to those who do not deserve it. I'll just let it marinate. We'll move on. Although you may not be where you expected, you are right where God wants you. Some of us have an expectation by this time in your life, you could name a whole bunch of things, financially, maritally, you know, all kinds of things, and you're not there, and you know something? You're not happy about it. But you say, oh, Jesus, you're the center of my life. I know you let me down, but it's okay. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stick with you. Hopefully you'll repent and give me what I want. Oh, I got to move on, but I don't want to, but that's okay. Number 7, seek the welfare of the entire city where you're planted. Yeah, we can do that. Number 8, God's justice will soon prevail. Well, oh, I guess it's a warning. I'm getting done when I'm done, okay? Leave the lights alone. Ain't done yet. What's this, a 5-minute warning? I know what time it is. Oh, Lord. Justice will soon prevail. I need to tell you something real quickly. Justice, God is a just God. But some of us, we have trouble with the very idea because God favors some people and we don't believe that's fair. Justice and favor are not on the same street. So, just because you're justified doesn't mean it's going to be equalized, okay? Number 9. God will give us hope in the midst of our suffering. And number 10, the hope of our future rests in our obedience. I'm right toward the end here. The miracles of Jesus were released through your desire to be and receive a blessing. Do not raise your hand on this, but I want you to let this sink into your spirit. Do you have a plan in your life that you want to be a blessing to as many people as you can? Because if you don't, you should. Not to get, but to be. Proverbs 3:33 says, God will curse the house of the wicked. In other words, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Which means you don't have to go around cursing folks. They're already cursed. But God's blessing is on the house of those who would attend unto him. Here we go. A couple other scriptures and we're done. When we bring what we have, that is all Jesus requires. Luke 9:6. This is simple scripture. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Wow. And last but not least, the power of blessing is in your tongue. James 3:9. Here comes the scripture. With it, let's talk about the tongue. We bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made. We have a decision to make when we leave here today, and I believe that Every person has the ability to make that decision. And that is simply this. Are we going to respond in a way that we're going to be a blessing and let God use us to bless people we come in contact with? We're right at the hour that I should be dismissing, but it's going to take a few more minutes to do what God wants to do, and I hope you're willing to do this. We've been talking about prayer for the last 10 weeks, and it culminates at this particular point, is that God has given you a mouth, he's given you a tongue that can speak forth blessings that can turn the tide on people's destiny. Out of the mouth is confession of the heart. And God wants to sanctify the things that come out of our mouth as they've been sanctified in our heart, that we will be doing the work of Jesus. Everyone bow your heads with me. Everybody. 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 A couple of things will happen as we walk out these doors today. And I'm not going to belabor the time because we'll get a chance to fellowship together in just a few moments. But I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to a number of us, and hopefully all of us, that we need to change the directives of our mouth to include the prayers of blessing over people that we come in contact with. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something for you and for me, that for the rest of this day, that no negative word would come out of our mouth. And everything that we speak to one another would be that of encouragement, of blessing, and maybe even a prayer of deliverance or healing on someone's life, that the message of Jesus may go forth. I'm going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I lift my hands over this congregation of people, most of whom I know, and Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Not because I have anything to offer, but because you've empowered me with your Holy Spirit to speak peace, to speak love, to speak provision, to speak deliverance, to speak healing over people who weren't even expecting this to come their way. Lord, would you do what you do so well? Lord, you teach us how to run to you when our heart is failing and we don't really know what to do. You teach us how to lift our eyes toward heaven or to the mountains. Where does our help come? It comes from you. So Lord, when we find our help that comes from you, Lord, and it's installed in our hearts, Lord, we are willing to share that blessing with any person we see. Lord, do that today. While every head's bowed, while every eye is closed, I wasn't planning on doing an altar call, but I'll hang back for a few minutes. I'm going to bless the food, and you folks go over there and start eating. But I feel like there's a few people here that says, you know what? I need to settle some accounts with Jesus today, and I need to come to him and allow his grace to prevail in my life. If that's you, just lift your hand up real quick and say, you know, being that you said that, yeah, that's me. I really need to do that. In the name of Jesus. 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 Anybody else? Because we're going to, in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, sir. Yeah. You can put your hand down. Because what we're going to do, we're going to sing a chorus of this song. And those of you that lift your hands, you meet me down here. I'll pray with you for a while. I'll pray over the food over there. But there's the Holy Spirit told me we cannot leave here without praying for you, without blessing you, without allowing God to do what only he can do. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand your feet. Let's sing the chorus, Lord, I Run to You. Those of you who lift your hands, come down here. Just meet me down here. We're going to pray together.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.